15 on the ticket. In this segment, I'd like to take you back to start to the mid-1970s, Oklahoma City, and there's a young child, roughly the age of 10, named Junior Miller. I was a precocious kid, sports nerd. I had an insatiable appetite for basketball. And so any basketball story in the newspaper, anything on TV basketball related, I couldn't help but dive into. And I was always interested and confused by the Oral Roberts basketball program. They were just up the road from Oklahoma City in Tulsa, so they got a lot of publicity in the local papers, local TV. And Oral Roberts made a run in this tournament. And every time Oral Roberts makes a run in the tournament, it makes me relive those days of being a child and being confused by the basketball team, but also kind of enamored by the basketball team, because Oral Roberts University was started in 1963 in Tulsa by the televangelist Oral Roberts. And as a kid, when I would fill out my tournament bracket, it always was weird to me to put in the name of a person as the school.
Yeah.
UCLA, North Carolina, Kansas, Oral Roberts.
Yeah, it's got to cause sports confusion the first time as a kid when your team goes up against somebody like that. It's like, they have a basketball team?
And they had a really good basketball team. When they first went Division I in 71-72, they went 26-2.
Wow.
They made it as a Division I independent to the Elite Eight in 1974, and they beat some big teams in the first couple of rounds.
Dang.
And they were ahead of their time. They had a coach by the name of Ken Trickey. Funny name. He also coached at Oklahoma City University, and he made the rounds in Oklahoma. He was a legendary coaching figure in Oklahoma college basketball lore. And he was run and gun. That first year that they were a Division I college basketball independent, they averaged 105 points a game. This is 1971-72 when Dean Smith is running the four corners. They averaged 105 a game. He pushed the pace. They won 20, 25 games every year. They made it to the Elite Eight. Oral Roberts.
Wow.
And they had a really good player by the name of Anthony Roberts. And I had a couple of Anthony Roberts basketball cards when I was a kid. And he never did much in the NBA. He was drafted by the Nuggets in the first round. But in college basketball, he averaged 30 a game. I think he may have even led the nation in scoring one year. So Anthony Roberts was one of my favorite players, because here's this guy at an Oklahoma University, a state not known for its college basketball, known for its football. And he's lighting it up, and these teams are scoring 110, 115 every night. And it's a school named after this preacher that we can watch on TV? I don't understand.
This is weird. Was it a huge story there locally, or was it so far before the NCAA became such a big story that it wasn't that big a deal?
No, it was a big story, and to me at least it was big, because sure, I knew a lot about the NCAA tournament. My dad used to take me to games at Oklahoma City University at Frederickson Fieldhouse,
yeah,
capacity 2,500. And in the rafters, there were a couple of banners where OCU made it to the NCAA tournament. And I always thought, wow, I'm watching a tradition-rich program here. What a treat this is. So Oral Roberts was this towering figure in Oklahoma when I was growing up. He is the original televangelist. He's the godfather of televangelism and charismatic preaching in America. And he had this ministry based out of Tulsa. We used to watch him. You know, we weren't a Baptist family. We were a Catholic family, or I think he was Methodist, Baptist, non-denominational. I never could actually pin down what Oral Roberts was, almost like his own religion. But his back when you had three channels to choose from, when we were kids, we would watch Oral Roberts because there was nothing else on.
Yeah.
And he was an Oklahoma guy. And I'll never forget, he would advertise something or he would solicit for donations. And you know how he would tell people to send money?
Mm.
If you want this book, If you would like me to bless you, then just send $20 to Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
That's it.
That's it.
All the address you needed.
That was all the address you needed. Anything that was mailed to Oral Roberts, Tulsa, Oklahoma, I guess the post office knew where to deliver it. Isn't that crazy?
That is.
Insane. And he was the one who said that God was going to kill him, right?
Yes. That was a huge story back in the day, that God was going to kill him unless he raised enough money to build this hospital, I believe it was.
New basketball arena. Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Our program.
They had a great arena. It was the Mabee Center, and I think they still play there. It sat 10,000, and it was this state-of-the-art facility. They had all of this. Their campus was beautiful, and it was built on all of these donations. Yeah, it was this. I think it was the City of Faith Medical Center is what he said. A 900-foot-tall Jesus appeared to him and said, "This is my vision. This is what I need you to do." So he went on his program and said, "Hey, a 900-foot Jesus appeared to me and said, we have to build the City of Faith Medical Center, and so I need you to donate." And everybody donated, and it opened in the early 80s after a few years of raising money and building. That's how powerful he was.
Wow.
You know, not just in Oklahoma. He was probably, I would say at the time, you know, this is late 70s, early 80s, behind Barry Switzer, he was the most powerful person in the state. And he may have been more powerful than Barry.
Remember the musician from Dallas who went by the name MC 900 Foot Jesus?
Yes.
Got his name from that.
Yeah.
From Oral Roberts' vision.
And this is an example of his teleministry, his televangelism. This is old. This is back when he was first realizing, hey, I can use TV as a medium to spread the word, to raise a lot of money. And this is from one of his crusade stops in Winston-Salem, 1955. So it's black and white footage. And he would preach for a while, and then he would do some faith healing. And this is an example of when he starts the faith healing. This mom brings her kid up front, and the kid's got a limp.
Would you give me your name and address, please?
Mrs. Margaret Farrell of 154 West Cedar, Denver, Colorado.
And how far have you come from Denver here to Winston-Salem?
2,000 miles.
What's the matter with your boy?
Well, he's been limping for almost the past 3 years since he's entered school.
Yes. Your card says rheumatics, muscles are bad, the left leg limps bad, sometimes he can't even walk. Is that correct?
Yes, something happens to the muscles in his thighs, and he can't set his feet to the ground.
And you heard about our meetings and came 2,000 miles for prayer for your child. Mrs. Farrell, do you have any doubt in your mind that God can heal this boy?
I came 2,000 miles because I knew that God could heal him.
Audience, do you believe God's able to heal Joseph Farrell? All right, we're going to pray. Joseph, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Son of the living God, I ask the Lord to have compassion and heal.
And then about a minute goes by where he kind of positions the kid, and then the kid walks a straight line with a big smile on his face, and he's healed, and the place goes crazy.
I remember watching stuff like that as a kid and thinking, wow.
Yes. And he's got a whole line there. Now, a lot of these televangelists were eventually exposed that these were actors. They were being paid $20 to come up and pretend. And I don't know specifically if Oral Roberts was ever busted on this. I do remember watching it as a kid thinking, that's all we need to do? Like, why doesn't every sick person go to the Oral Roberts crusade stop?
We don't need hospitals.
And we don't need hospitals anymore. They're just it didn't seem right to me.
Yeah. The God I believe in isn't short on cash, mister.
That's right.
I always thought that he would... It seems like those faith healers injured people more by hitting them in the middle of the head for them to fall back.
Yeah, they'd fall
that
back.
Just made me tense.
Yeah.
Some old lady up there complaining that she's got a bad back, and he just hauls off and whiplashes her in the head with a roundhouse kick.
And I watched this whole crusade stop from yesterday. It was about the faith healing portion was about 20 minutes. He didn't do any of that.
Okay.
He would usually just gently lay his hand on the forehead, but a lot of times he didn't even do that. He would just hold their hand or something. And then miraculously, every one of them was cured.
Mm-hmm.
It was about 10 or 15, and they were all cured. And then, of course, he gave the address at the end on where to send money if you want him to pray for you and help you heal or whatever from a distance. You just send that money in. And, man, did he make a name for himself, a fortune for himself. He ended up retiring in opulence on the West Coast, Newport Beach, California. Had a bunch of kids. Crazy life story, Oral Roberts. But the fact that he started his own university that then fielded a run-and-gun basketball team that has had great success even to this day is just, that's an amazing story to me.
Yeah.
On a campus that looked like it was the set of the Jetsons.
Yes, very futuristic
for
the 70s.
Buildings, yeah.
It's strange that those places survive their namesake dying. You know, he died, whatever, mm-hmm. in 2009. I think he lived into his 90s, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah,
was
91.
Early 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that the thing doesn't somehow collapse after you've built an empire on kind of a cult of that personality, of that charismatic leader, that something is able to continue.
The televangelist is such a big part of American history and culture in the last 100 years.
Didn't it have kind of its heyday in the 80s, it seems like, is
yes.
when televangelism was so huge?
And I watched so much of that stuff. It was entertaining television.
Hey, a few of the big players came out of Dallas.
Yep.
Whoever the Eagles Nest guy was, I think that was out of Dallas. Robert Tilton, of course, was yep. out of Dallas.
James Copeland, was it, out of Fort Worth?
Is that Kenneth yeah. Copeland?
Kenneth Copeland, yeah. Out of Fort Worth, he was the airplane guy. He had a fleet of private planes.
Yeah.
He was in the news in the last year or two. I can't remember what that was for.
Yeah, he was.
Is he the one that they have the famous mashup of let the bodies hit the floor? You seen that video
yes.
on YouTube?
I mean,
yes. 15 years old or something.
Is that funnier than...
He's the one who does all the knocking people to the ground business. No, maybe that's Benny Hinn that does that.
Yeah, Benny okay, Hinn was yeah. the faith healer that injured people.
Okay.
Was he
Is Benny Hinn
also?
From here?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah, we used to watch him in college.
Holy mackerel. And wasn't the... Who's the cotton candy-haired lady? The lady that has cotton candy hair, you know what I'm talking about?
Is she one of the
She's
wives?
She's the wife of the Crypt Keeper looking guy. And
Benny Hill, sure.
And I think that they are from Dallas.
You mentioned Robert Tilton. He was based in Farmers Branch, and he was the one that would speak in tongues and go crazy. Super charismatic. We do have an audio clip from Robert Tilton.
Thank you, Lord.
Uh-oh. Okay, this is the...
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm seeing somebody's house right now. Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Thank
All right,
you,
that's not the original one. The first Robert Tilton flatulence tape. When that made the rounds, that was
the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Funniest thing.
Yes.
And that was before YouTube, and somehow we got a hold of a VHS of that. And me, my dad, my brother probably sat in our game room watching that tape over and over
again. Your
dad
liked it?
Oh, my dad would roll on the floor laughing at that thing.
Because Robert Tilton would make these facial expressions
yeah.
that made it look like he was straining.
He would do these dramatic pauses and squint his eyes and tense up. And so somebody...
and
the rumor was,
after it.
Yeah, the rumor was it was somebody on his audiovisual crew that betrayed him and made this tape. And it just got out, and that was in a day. That seems weird to think back to the day to where there were underground VHS markets, you know, that you would,
yeah,
hey, gotta,
watch this.
You got a copy of the Robert Tilton tape? Hey, I got a buddy I know who is a friend who knows someone who's got the tape. I'll try to get us a copy. And so you'd try to get a copy of it, and if you got one, you were on the, man, you were in the in crowd.
Yeah.
If you had a secret copy of the Robert Tilton flatulence tape.
You know, there are a couple of televangelists still going strong today that have, for the most part, escaped any kind of, you know, weird drama. Joel Osteen, highly successful, based mm-hmm. out of Houston. T.D. Jakes, another one based right here mm-hmm. in the Metroplex.
Yeah.
The Dallas is like the epicenter for televangelism.
Yeah.
Doesn't Joel Osteen do his thing from the old Summit?
Yep.
That's his church now, which used to be the Rockets' home court.
Capacity 20,000 for his Sunday service. But then there is a long line of those who've been swallowed up by scandal, like Jimmy Swaggart. Remember Jimmy Swaggart?
Remember the tearful eyes sinned against you,
yes.
God, when he was caught in a hotel room with hookers.
There was
Ted Haggard. Remember, he was the guy who was busted getting a gay massage with meth.
Oh, that's right.
That was real uncomfortable.
Who could forget Jim Baker?
Jim Baker
and Tammy Faye.
Which, do you remember?
Club?
Remember how great the SNL Tammy and Jimmy?
Yes,
Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker with Phil Hartman and Jan Hooks doing them.
Yes,
they were so good.
The running makeup and mascara on Jan Hooks. Do you guys remember Ernest Angley?
No,
name sounds familiar.
He was on all the time when I was a kid. We used to watch him just because we had nothing else to do.
Who was the genius guy that had the glasses and then would have stop downs and dead air for 15 minutes?
Locked into him.
Dr. Gene Scott.
Oh, I'm not going to talk anymore, and I'm not going to teach anymore until y'all get on the phones and give us some money.
Yeah.
All right, roll the video of the horses. And then it'd show video of the of his private stock of horses that he bred.
He's the one who
was so great.
He's the one who started the penalty kill.
Oh yeah. He would do just huge layouts. He'd pay millions of dollars for airtime, and half of the airtime would be spent with him being pissed, not saying anything.
Playing out, just looking at the camera, shaking his head.
We used to watch him in college, puffing on his cigar
while with his Santa Claus beard.
There was Rex Humbard. There was Garner Ted Armstrong. I remember his name. He always used to send me into hypnosis.
Like a wrestler.
Yeah.
Garner, now entering the ring, Garner Ted Armstrong. So many of them, and so many of them based right here. And the godfather of all of them, Oral Roberts, whose basketball team went deep in the tournament again this year. Amazing. All right, 8:33 on the ticket. Coming up next, well, we had a story breaking news in the news this morning. An alligator spotted in George's hometown. We're going to talk to that alligator next.